Protect your customers from the next generation of threats with Microsoft 365. No cancellation fees, no contracts, and the most experienced customer support team in the business. Visit appriver.com/podnutspro today.
So I had an interesting, another one is that this involves email, and I don't want to talk bad about anybody because maybe he's new.
Is it somebody that listens to the show?
No. Well, I don't know. Well, I hope not.
Then what are you worried about?
Well, I don't like to badmouth anybody. Okay. So here's what happened. My client emails me saying, I can't email this vendor.
Okay. It sounds like a daily email.
Yeah. They said their IT person, the vendor's IT person said it's our server that's not working correctly. I said, all right. Unlikely, but I said, what happens when you email them? She says, I get this message. Okay. What's the message say? So she tells me what the message says, where she forwards it to me. Basically, it says her mail server, you know, my client mail server, generated a message saying destination mailbox unavailable. And that, of course, is generated by my client's mail server.
Right.
I said, okay, well, this is telling you that whoever you're emailing is, their mailbox is not reachable. I said, it's on their end. She goes, that's what I thought too, but their IT person said it was on our end. I said, well, email him back and tell him it's not. Show him where it says mailbox unavailable. So then I get an email back from, she emailed their IT. Their IT responded back saying, no, this is your mail server is rejecting the message. See here. And he highlights the mail server where it says generating server was her mail server.
Right.
And right below it says, mailbox unavailable. I said, yes, your server is telling you that it can't reach their mailbox. I highlighted mailbox unavailable and replied back to her and the other IT person. I said, this is telling us that we can't reach your mail server. Of course, your mail server can't reply with the response because it can't reach it. Her mail server is letting us know that your mailbox is unavailable. He replies, I disagree. I'm like,
that's where I'd be like, you're an idiot.
I said, well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I said, so anyway, I email him back and forth. Oh, then he says, which is a good idea. He said, well, just email him any address, make up something at whatever.com. He said, and you should get a message saying that the address is invalid. I said, okay, I'll do it. Just make you happy. Emailed that, got back the same thing, mailbox unavailable. I said, here you go. Generated from my client's mail server. Same thing, mailbox unavailable. He's like, He said, no, email a made up address at my domain, at his domain name. Did that, same thing, mailbox unavailable. So basically, after an hour back and forth, he finally decided to look at his stuff. An hour. After another hour back and forth, he found the problem. He said, oh, I found the problem. It works now. I said, no. What's the problem? I said, I've got 2 hours invested in this. What's the problem? And basically, he told me that their spam filter was blocking the domain. I said, okay. He said, I misread the NDR.
It probably took him an hour to realize he could say the word NDR.
I was like, well, it says clearly that your mailbox. I said, okay, whatever. I'm glad you got it resolved. I let my client know. So I forwarded his response to my client. I said, yeah, after 2 hours, it was on their end. I don't know why he thinks it wasn't on their end, but it was on their end that's resolved. And look, I told my client, I have to bill you for my time. I said, you're going to get a bill, unfortunately, for 2 hours for this back and forth with this client. I said, you want to send it to your vendor? You can try it. I said, but this is a 2-hour call for me. I mean, you contacted me. I just let you know you're going to get this is a ticket. She's like, oh, I understand. I'm going to see if they're going to pay it because it was on their end. But
so I'm surprised you let it go that long because I don't. I've gotten to the point where I'm at the point where I do not have any patience for administrators who are like that, who just don't, obviously they don't know how to be an administrator. They don't know how to read. And I will go on and I'll start doing all the mail testing and sending an SMTP diag and I'll send them screenshots. And I'm like, my customer can send to every other person in the world right now, except you.
Yeah. And I told him that so in the bounce back message, he was looking at the IP address because she sent some. So in the thing, it shows her local IP address and he's like, what's this? I'm like, that's her IP address. And then he highlighted my IP address. What's this? I'm like, that's the IP address of the originating whoever creates the email. You don't need to search your logs for that. You need to search the logs for mail coming from the public IP, which is this. Their mail service public IP is this. This is what you search for. I said, all this stuff you're looking for about the server's LAN IP and the sender's LAN IP, that's all irrelevant. You need to search your logs from stuff coming from mail.whatever.com, which is this IP address. He kept for an hour trying to point to other things that would be on our end. I don't know, maybe I don't talk bad. To me, I looked at that message and instantly I thought, this is on their end.
I'll talk bad about people like that because I like I said, I've gotten to the point I just can't have pay. I remember going through this. So JM Family is a big name down here in South Florida. Basically, they're one of the largest Toyota dealerships in Florida. And I remember having this argument with, you know, a so-called network administrator, where back then it was before, you know, SPF records and DMARCs and all of that stuff were really huge, but it was still at a point where it was easy to research and find out what the MX records were and whether they were, you know, because obviously you can find out whether it's an on-prem exchange, if it's, you know, hosted exchange, if they're using filters, you know, back then, you know, Barracuda, MX Logic or whatever. So most of the time I would just go on and find out. And as soon as I saw that they had MX Logic or whatever, Mail Protector, you know, whatever, I'd be like, okay, you need to check your filters because obviously your stuff is blocking. And I remember going through all that stuff years ago to the point where now I'm just going to be like, look, you're wrong. Go to MX Toolbox yourself and check your server.
Well, the spam filter they were using, I've used before, and it's easy to check the logs and see what it's rejecting. It's easy. That should have been the first thing he did when his client emailed, notified him, hey, I can't get mail from this domain. It's easy. It should have taken him a minute to check the logs and say, oh, yeah, we're blocking that. That domain is being misidentified as spam. Let me add it to the whitelist. It should have taken a minute. But it shouldn't take 2 hours and get other IT involved to tell him, hey, you need to look at this. This is your end. No, don't look at my local IP address because I'm just the one who originated the message. No, don't look at that. It's irrelevant. It was to me ridiculous. But maybe he's not the person who normally does the email troubleshooting for his company. Maybe he's just filling in. I don't know, but hope it was a good learning lesson for him. But hey, the part where he said, I misread the NDR and I got confused. I emailed that to my client. I said, so he agrees now that he did read it wrong because I told him he was reading it wrong. I said, no, you're reading that wrong. That notice is letting us know that the mailbox is unavailable. Our server is not rejecting. Nowhere on here does it say that we're rejecting mail sent to you. It's saying it tried to send it and it can't find the mailbox is unavailable.
Find it.
Yeah. I mean, that was ridiculous. I just remembered other IT people I had a fight with. Not fight with, because I didn't actually talk to them directly. You know who it is? Web developers.
Oh.
I didn't make this. So this happened last week, and I haven't been on the show in a while. I got an email from my client. Nobody can send mail to this domain name.
Nobody.
I said, really? You've checked with everyone?
In the whole world?
In the whole world? And then they said, people that have tried aren't successful. I said, okay, I like that explanation more. Okay, so let me try. I tried. Bounce back. Okay, I'll add to the list of nobody. Now, they don't offer any information. I said, what's changed? Nothing's changed. Okay, nothing's changed. Just first thing is domain name expired. No, domain's not expired. Next thing, DNS. I said, wait. I said, these name servers aren't correct. I said, are you having website design? Yeah. Okay. Did you give your web designer access to the registrar panel? Yeah, they said they needed to log in. Okay. So I said, what they did was they changed the name servers. They're pointing to different name servers now. They don't have any of the correct records for your mail. I said, what do you want me to do? This is a Tuesday. And I said, mail went down Monday morning. They're getting me involved Tuesday because they didn't see the connection between the web developer changing, asking for the login and the mail breaking right away. And they didn't see a connection.
Well, of course not. What's the website got to do with our email?
So, yeah. So I said, look, I said, they need to either create the records on the new DNS portal, or I need to change the name servers back, and they need to give me the records for the website. Okay, we'll get back to you. I think it was like the next day they got back to say, look, that person said he doesn't know how to make DNS records for the MX. I gave him the records. They don't know how to make the records. Like, okay, so do you want to be down more, or do you want me to fix the domain? So anyway, I ended up having to change the name servers back. Then I changed the login for the registrar panel because they gave it to those people. I said, look, I've changed it. It's working. Mail's working. I said, just if they ask again for the login credentials, do not give it to them. If anyone asks for any login credentials, check with us first. I said, now, in an email, I did a separate email. I emailed her. I said, please have them provide the A records and C name records they want created. And they replied back saying, well, we need the login. I was like, no, you can't have the login. You broke mail for 3 days to the company. I will make the changes. And they didn't want to give them to me. I said, fine. I told my client, they don't want to give them to me. There's nothing I can do. I said, they cannot get in there again. They've demonstrated that they screwed it up. And they even couldn't add the DNS record to their own DNS portal. I said, so you need to get with them and they need to provide it. And they did. Finally, they provided it. Let me look at it and see if it's up yet. I think what the game was wrong. Oh no, it's back up now. When I did it, the only website just said test. It was just a blank page that said test. I was like, is this a test for me? Did I pass? Did I make the A name and the C name, the A record and the C name record correct? Yay! It just said test.
Wow.
Yeah. So they brought the company down for 3 days. Because they didn't want to admit, they didn't know how to. Okay, so the second domain name still says test. There was two domain names they changed. The second one still says test. So they didn't fix that website yet.
So they don't even know how to put a legit site up?
No. Well, it's nice. It says test.
Not even coming soon?
No.
We're working.
Small black. Just like standard Times New Roman test. That's all you get. It's nice. Wow. I mean, they could have centered it, maybe. I would say the web development group online on air, but that'd be mean.
I hate those
web developers. I don't know when they get to learn. They I've never met a web developer that knew how to do DNS. They change name servers, and they don't even check records, and they don't know how to add records.
That's the problem. They always
they think everyone uses Gmail is a problem.
Well, that and the fact that they can't do anything unless it's hosted by them.
That's what they say.
They have control, and I'm like, no. I mean, you're telling the story, and I'm thinking in the back of my head, I have one customer that has changed web companies twice in the last year. And both times I had to fight with them about that because they wanted to move everything to their stuff. And I'm like, you can't do that. We have so many other things in the DNS related to the company that I don't want you messing up. You know, we've got mail, we've got remotes, we've got, you know, there's so many other things that every time they switch a name server, everything gets defaulted back to nothing.
They'll never fix it. It's crazy.
And so it was funny because when you asked them about, you know, what addresses do you need? I remember the first time they changed, you know, it took me about a week to tell the customer, you know, they can't have control. So have them send me the records that they need. You know what they sent? They sent the records that we already have that they could find through a regular DNS search. And I'm like, why are they sending me this? This I know. I need the A record that they want us to point the site to. But they didn't. They couldn't even send their own A record. Yeah. They sent our records back to us. I'm like, idiots.
Thank you for providing information we already have.
Right.
But here's what we need. Yeah. So web developers and DNS, printer scanner guys and IPs and networking, they just don't mix. They seem to not mix. But I just thought of something else. Another web hosting. A client of mine called. We don't host their website.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, all we do is register the domain for them and manage DNS.
Okay.
They went somewhere else for web hosting, web design, everything. Okay. The web designer emails me and says, I need you to add an SSL certificate to their website. I said, you manage their website and their hosting. This is something that you need to do. I have no access to where the website's hosted or the website. This is for you to do. She didn't respond. Then my client emailed me a few days later saying, hey, they're still waiting for you to do the SSL certificate. I said, I told them I don't have access. This is something this is a task for the web developer. I can't add a certificate to a website that I have no control or no access to. I said, you can understand that, right? So I don't get all this computer stuff. I said, well, don't think of it as computer terms. I said, it's like asking me to schedule auto pay for your bank account to pay someone else. I don't have access to your bank account. I can't log into your bank account and schedule auto pay. I'm just like, I can't log into your web hosting and create a certificate. But you know what? The web developer doesn't know how to do an SSO cert on their website.
Wow.
I said, look, the best I can do is if you send me the CSR, I can order a certificate for you. I said, but I can't create the CSR and I can't install it for you. But I can purchase it if you want to send me the CSR.
And did they ask you what's a CSR?
No, they didn't reply to it at all. And let me see if they even got it. I'm gonna check the site right now. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Some of these web developers, all they do is outsource everything. They don't understand anything.
They take a WordPress course and think they're good to go.
Yeah, they didn't get this. It's not added. They don't have it. So they still don't have it.
Or not even a WordPress course. They go to Wix.com.
Hey. At least Wix they do security themselves. You don't have to do anything, right?
Right.
Or do you? Does Wix do it for you?
I have
no
idea.
Pay for that.
So while you're looking that up, let me tell you a similar story of another. So I've got the customer that I subcontract for, where the main headquarters is out of state. And they call me up because they need me to go on site to look for a door access system that they no longer use, but they have to keep connected because they still have to keep the logs of all the door entries, even though they've switched systems. So they've got to keep it for X number of years. But for some reason, they can no longer connect to it. They don't know where it is. They don't know what it's connected to or what VLAN it's on or anything like that. So my job was to go there, find the box, and tell them what port it's connected to on the switch. So, simple enough, I go in, find the box, pull the network cable, plug in my Fluke link runner, and it quickly tells me what switch it's connected to, what port, and it tells me the VLAN that the port is configured for. So all I do is basically, well, first of all, you still haven't used your Fluke yet, have you? So basically what happens is you set up a Link Live account with the Fluke so that when you do the test, it will automatically at the end of the test send an email, and I can get it on my phone, the email that tells me all of the information. Tells me the IP address it got, gateway, all that information. So then all I have to do is forward that email to whoever needs it. So for this customer, I literally forwarded them the name of the switch, the model of the switch, the IP address, the port, the VLAN, everything. And the guy's like, oh, great, this is what we need. So I leave. So I get a call 2 days later. They still can't connect to it. So then I have to meet the door access company. They have given them a new VLAN. They've given the door access people an IP address, a static IP address, and gateway, and VLAN to connect to. And the door access guy is sitting in the server room with his notebook, trying to ping everything. And he's taking the cable out of the switch and putting it into his notebook to try to ping the access box. And he says, okay, that works. And then he puts it into the switch to try to ping, or no, to see if they can then see the box. So it is set up with the IP address they gave them. It's set up with the gateway, the subnet, and the VLAN, but they're not able to connect. I plug my Fluke in. The port is not configured to the subnet or the VLAN that they gave them. And they didn't believe me.
Of course not.
And I'm like, you're kidding me, right? Are you in the same switch I'm in? Now, the sad part is the guy that I'm dealing with is not the guy that's doing the configuration. They have a NOC. And so he's got to relay this to the NOC. I can't talk directly to the NOC to tell them. And I just keep sending him. I said, look, I'm going to send you another email that gives you all the configuration. Here's the port that you told us to connect to. My device is getting an IP address because it's set up DHCP. That IP address range, that VLAN, that's none of this is matching what you told them to put in. We were there an hour. They still couldn't figure it out. I had to leave.
It's complicated stuff.
I'm like, how? And I just don't get it.
Did they ever get it?
I don't know. That was last week.
So they didn't call you back, though.
Well, I don't think they want to pay me to be there to tell them they're wrong.
Again.
Because that's a that's an hourly rate. That's not a, you know, they're not a monthly service customer or, you know, discount billing. That's full hourly rate from the time I leave my office to the time I leave theirs.
We've been a managed client, though. You can't keep going out there for the same thing over and over again.
No. I mean, there's no reason to when, I mean, I was almost to the point of saying, just put it back to regular. Just take all the VLAN off. Take every, just put it on your regular network, VLAN 1, and let's see what happens. But, hey, not my client.
No. I like it when I find a client that has lots of unnecessary VLANs for no reason.
Oh, this customer has so many VLANs. So many. I think they've got, let's see, they have 4 offices, and I think each office has 5 VLANs.
I mean, the VLANs, if they're for a purpose, is one thing, but I like when they create VLANs just because they read about it and they want to practice making VLANs.
Oh. Now, I think this company...
I'm like, why do you have so many VLANs? And they don't know. And they find that there's no reason for it at all. They just, probably someone was just playing around with it.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, there are guys that, yeah, once they learn that and it's, they think they have to segregate everything.
Yeah. Everything can be a VLAN.
Yeah. Why should the accounting department, you know, be on the same VLAN as the shipping department? And
they make a huge complicated network.
Eight people in the company.
I like when the shipping department is one person.
Right.
Accounting is one person. They're on separate VLANs.
Yeah.
And the whole office has like 6 people. I'm like, what is this for?
Yeah.
Somebody was practicing on your network instead of getting their home network.
I love it. But I do like the VLANs. I mean, in the Ruckus, I'm doing the customer I got the controller for. We're doing 3 wireless VLANs. Just one for their main office, one for the guest. And then they also have advertising boards and multimedia stuff that they're bringing in that we put on a separate VLAN. So.
Yeah, and those kind of things. My guest network, of course, should be separate, but yeah.
So that's it. But they, it was funny because today they called me because when we do the VLAN for their main office, we're actually going to do access control so that only they have iPads, they have wireless printers that they can print their, X-rays and medical records and stuff, and there's, I don't know, some script thing to these printers that are wireless. So that's the only reason that those devices are connected. But the staff periodically would put their cell phones on it. And I said, well, that can't happen anymore. If you are truly going to follow HIPAA, then we've got to stop that. Unless they're going to be, you know, managed devices. Oh, no, we can't have that. Well, then we're going to put access control on. So they started giving me their list today of the people that have to have their cell phones on the main wireless.
Yeah, if they know the password, then anyone can add it. You're going to have to restrict all that.
That happens this weekend, so that'll be fun.
I like it when we have guest networks and things, and I had a call this week. They couldn't print to their printer anymore. Look into it, and I said, why is your printer on the guest network? I said, are guests printing to this printer? No, I'm trying to print to it. Yeah, well, you put it on the guest network. So put it on the regular network. Well, how did that get changed? I mean, well, you had to put the password in for the guest network because it's a different password.
My goodness.
They didn't like getting a bill because this is one client that does not like to pay for anything. They don't call unless they have to. And they had to, and it was a 5-minute fix, and they didn't like that they got billed for it. Like, well, that fixed your problem.
Did they set up the Wi-Fi on their own?
Yeah, they set the printer up. And I said, first of all, why is this printer hardwired? I said, why is it even on a wireless? I said, this is not something we did. I said, because we can plug this printer into the hardwire, and you won't have the problem. So they went and bought the printer. They put it up. Apparently it was on the regular network at one point because it worked. Then it stopped working. But it was on the guest network. I said, so whatever. I mean, I don't like having printers on a wireless network, especially when you have a wired connection available.
Right.
And their response is always the same. But I want to print to it from my notebook. My notebook's wireless. I said, so? It's just, I said, picture your house. Picture you have a corded phone and a wireless phone. They both go to the same phone line. It's how they connect to the phone line. Just because one's wireless doesn't mean they all have to be wireless devices. You can pick up the wired phone in your kitchen and your wireless phone in the bedroom. It's the same phone line.
Okay. Man, you realize how old you are, right?
Look, I guarantee you these clients that I'm talking to have probably wired phones
okay.
in their house.
Let's say.
Everybody's got to have at least one wire. That's how it connects. And then the rest of them are base stations.
Not anymore. You know how many people I met that don't have landlines at all?
Oh, yeah. They don't have landlines. Right. But if they have a home phone, they have at least one that's plugged into the phone.
If they have a home phone.
These are some old people that didn't like computer talk. And I knew that they understood a phone. Like, oh, yeah. They think that if it's a notebook and it's wireless, they have to print to a wireless printer.
Of course.
Yeah.
So anyway. Did I ever tell you the story about my client that they go on site? It's a doctor that they go on site to. I don't want to say the name, but it's a village is what they call it, where it's one of the. What do they call those? Assisted living facilities. So the doctor actually goes there once a week and does consults at the village. So they are able to take a notebook, iPad, and they set up a printer so that they can, you know, remote back into the main office and do their stuff. So I've never had anything to do with this network. I've never been to the place. I set up the notebook initially just to put, you know, our RMM software on there just for protection there. I had no idea about the printer that they took over. So knew nothing. So I get a call one morning that they can't print. And I'm trying to tell them, I know nothing about that environment. And the guy that is there says that he can't help. And I'm like, well, isn't it their network? Well, yes, but he said it's our equipment. And I'm like, I don't think so. I said, are you able to connect from your notebook? And they're like, well, yeah. I said, okay, well, let me remote in and I'll see what I can do. But I almost guarantee you that this is nothing I can help with. So I get on, I'm looking, I'm like, okay, everything looks fine. Where's your printer? Well, it's right here. It's right next to me. I said, okay. And, well, no, I'm sorry. The printer was on the other side of the room. I said, okay, well, let's go to the other side of the room. So the other side of the room, they lose connection. So I'm like, okay, so Wi-Fi stops right there. They're like, yeah. I said, okay, well, that might be a reason. If the printer can't connect to the Wi-Fi router, so why don't you move the printer over to where you were before to see if it can connect? No, it still can't connect. Okay. So tell me about such and such. And well, they told us this morning we had to connect to a different network. I said, oh, so the printer's probably still on the old network. Mm-hmm. Get the tech on the phone and have them talk to me. Okay. I'm like, okay, so you had them connect to a different network and can you switch the printer to the same network? He's, oh, no. We have to be separate. This is, you know, we can't allow you to be in our network. I said, but somebody told them to connect the notebook to that network. Oh, well, they shouldn't be on it. I'm like, okay, so what should they be on? Well, they should be on this network. So we're on the notebook looking for the SSID. It's nowhere to be found. I'm like, well, they can't connect to it if it's not there. Well, I don't know what to do. I'm not the regular guy. I have to call you back. Half an hour later, he calls me back to tell me the wireless router that they were using was down.
And it's they didn't realize this?
Apparently not.
And the tech didn't know how to check and see if the printer and the notebook were on the same?
I don't know connection. What this guy was doing. My first thought was, if they couldn't connect earlier, who told them to connect to the other network? Was it you?
So somebody realized it was down, told right. them just connect to the other network.
Mm-hmm.
And that person didn't realize they had a printer. And then this guy didn't want to put him on that network. But it's easy to print a network configuration page from the printer and see that what the IP they're on and what network they're on. I don't understand. I don't understand how people troubleshoot stuff, because these things are so easy, but yet sometimes the people there make it so complicated and can't even do it sometimes. It makes me think, well, I should really charge more, is what I think.
Absolutely.
Because I can fix this stuff in minutes. Why should I be billing less? I mean, I don't understand.
Well, and that's the thing I was trying to say to them is, it's not my network. Why are you calling me?
Obviously, because
there's a tech department there on site. It's their network.
Oh, I don't know how the wireless works on your networks. I've never seen this model of printer. I can't help you there.
Oh.
We don't support this model.
Oh, my goodness. I was livid.
Well, could you bill them at least? Or this?
No, I can't bill them.
Ah. Not even under advanced support, because their IT staff, they couldn't help it. They can't. Mary Mono's saying,
I should.
If someone else looks at it and they can't fix it, it must be advanced support.
Actually, I should do that. I haven't billed them yet for that for this past month. So maybe I'll slip it in and see what happens.
Yes, that's advanced support. I always say, if other IT people can't fix it and I can, it's advanced.
That's right.
Otherwise, I mean, where were they?
I'm going to do that.
And we actually have a, in ConnectWise, a work type of advanced network support
mm-hmm.
for that specific reason.
Actually, you know what I should do it as a completely separate invoice and tell them, you need to submit this to the other company for payment.
Yeah, they're the ones who broke it.
Right.
Their wire's down. They told you to connect here. Yeah, that's what I usually do.
Or here's better yet. I think I'm going to try to get my customer to tell me who their billing department is, their accounting department. I'll just send it directly to them.
I wouldn't do that. Then they don't pay what you can do. I said to your clients, say, look, you can, I always tell my clients that you're on the hook for this bill, but you know what? If I was you, I would submit it to them for reimbursement.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. It's advanced.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they couldn't, the irregular guy couldn't fix it.
The on-site guy couldn't fix it.
He's irregular. He's not the regular guy.
He's not the regular guy, yeah.
He's the irregular guy. Did you ask him that? I'm sorry, you're irregular.
I can't talk to you. Call me back when the regular guy's in. All right, my friend.
So what exactly do you do? What you should have said.
Oh, that's not your job? What's your job?
I would have liked to know what he did. Is his scope of work?
Are you not allowed to touch the wireless? Is that outside your scope?
Did they tell you not to touch the stuff? Is that what they did? No, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to touch the equipment. Make him feel irregular, more irregular.
You know what? That's a great idea. I should have, if you're the irregular guy and you can't touch it, do I need to come over there and bring my equipment? I'll bring in my Fluke.
How far away is this from you? Is it far?
No, it's like 15 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
I can walk in there, pull out my Fluke bag, $500 call.
Oh, jeez.
I'm here to do the
Wi-Fi
audit. I guess
that's why it's hard to find good techs, huh? It's just they seem to be rare.
And getting harder. I wish I could talk about the junior. I have to wait.
Yeah, we've been on for a while tonight.
Well, no, I can't talk. I mean, I need to. Okay. I'm waiting for something to happen at this firm where he's working. And
Oh, that's the one. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, I can't wait to tell this story.
That'll be a good one.
He has been trying to replace me for 5 years.
Is he going to succeed?
No.
So maybe he just won't have to worry about it soon.
He'll have to worry about something. How to pay his bills.
Maybe you can hire him.
Hell no. All right, let's wrap this up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to yet another open mic session with Matt Rainey here on the Podnuts Pro Show. If you like these shows, head over to podnuts.com and listen to some of the other great shows. You can catch Jeff Hallisch and the Computer Repair Podcast live every Sunday afternoon. You can catch Door to Door Geek, the owner of the great Podnuts Network, in his Android App Addict show. That is a great show that he and the buddies over there run. And of course, you can find more episodes of Podnuts Pro on the website and go back and listen to our past episodes. You can follow us on the Twitter at Podnuts Pro. You can send us email. And because Matt Rainey's here, you can send email directly to him, matt@podnuts.com. And you can send me email with your comments, questions, shows, suggestions to marvin@podnuts.com. And we will answer at some point.
Yeah.
We didn't answer.
I just checked my email today for the first time in like a month, so.
I will answer, so that'll take care of it.
Before we leave, I have one question that maybe people could think about.
Okay.
And I'd like to come up with my own answer, too. I don't have an answer.
Okay, so you're...
What would people think is a good client gift? So, right, you want to give a client something that promotes you. But what would that be? Would it be, I know some people give hats or shirts or cups.
What is the occasion in which you're looking to give them a gift?
Just general stuff to be able to just to promote. Just say,
like a thank you for your business.
It could be, but mainly it's just something, if you want to give something for your promotional material for your company.
Like
you
at the end of the year, Christmas time, or just.
It could be whenever.
Anytime. Okay.
So if you want to promote your company, you probably give this out to whoever, clients, anybody. What would be a good thing to give out for promotional?
Okay, so you're looking for something different than mouse pads, coffee mugs.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Pens.
I
mean,
I would think ideally something that they would use out in public. You know, I don't want
to... A Yeti.
Okay, so real quick. Let's say it was a Yeti. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have enough money to give everyone a Yeti.
Yeah.
If it was just branded with my company logo, I'm not sure if people would really want that.
Well, if they don't have a Yeti.
It almost had to be co-branded between my company and the client's company I was giving it to.
I mean, listen, not everybody has Matt Rainey money. So you can't expect everybody to have a Yeti.
My Yeti is branded with my name.
And I give out my fake Yetis with my logo on it.
The Sasquatch.
And they love it. I here's the thing. I go into customers' offices all the time, and I see my coffee mugs in their cabinets, in their kitchen sink that they use.
But here's a problem. Not a problem. Here's what I'm thinking about that, though, we should have ended the show, but I want to get people thinking about this. If you have a coffee mug.
Mm-hmm.
Who is seeing the coffee mug? Your client. Well, they're already your client.
Yeah, but I'm not buying them that coffee mug for advertising. I'm not trying to get new customers out of it.
But I think I prefer something that your name is out and about and people say, oh, you used, that's your computer. You know, something that, Like, I know somebody does umbrellas. Somebody was giving umbrellas.
Okay.
And that's good in a sense because it's in public. It's out there. But the problem is when you open the umbrella, can you really read it? I mean, if it's raining and you open the umbrella, can you really read the top of someone else's umbrella?
Yeah, right. Because here's the thing. The time that you're using the umbrella is not the time. It's not an opportune marketing moment.
Yeah. And I can't read the top of somebody else's umbrella because they're holding it above their head. Right. I can't really read it.
Attaché case.
I see that those kind of things, you don't have to co-brand it. So if I'm giving it to a client and I want them to use it out in public, I don't have to put my logo and their logo on it so they feel like it's, you know, it's part theirs instead of just mine. I don't know. I don't know. It's just putting it out there if somebody has any ideas.
All right. I will. Here's what I'm going to do. God forbid, I'm going to edit the show so that I can put this out separately as a, well, no, you know what? I'm not going to edit.
We're non-editors.
Yeah. So ladies and gentlemen, if you have an idea or something that you have done in your business that obviously is different than just your promotional giveaway that Mr. Matt Rainey could use as an idea for marketing, send that information to us.
I did see somebody use playing cards. I was at a friend's house and they had playing cards from a company, which I thought was interesting. So I could see that company's name on the back of every card. We're playing cards. And all I see looking at everybody else is that company's information on the back of playing cards, which I thought was interesting.
Okay. I can't help you because like I said, I don't buy these things for marketing.
Yeah. Well, think about that. I'm just curious.
What about headsets? Buy them some Beats with the the Matt Rainey logo on it.
Remember, we don't want to spend a lot of money on this stuff. Okay.
But they have those. They have headsets where you can do the logo on the headsets, on the Bluetooths.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they were, $15 a piece?
Yeah, I'm looking for them a little cheaper. I'm curious to see how much those playing cards would cost if I customize those.
Let me go to my site. So I've got two sites that I use. DiscountMudge.com just started doing this. Let's see, trade show and events. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end the show. And thank you for listening. Matt and I are going to go look for marketing materials that he can use as giveaways. If you have some, send them to us. Marvin@podnuts.com, Matt@podnuts.com. And thank you for listening. And until next time, holla.